Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, July the 8th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Letty G., The 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., and the readers of the text are Lisa N., Alex K., and Janice P.M., and today we'll be reading in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 30. We'll be reading the second and the third paragraphs, beginning with We Learned That We Had to Fully Concede, through two paragraphs, ending with We Got Worse, Never Better. And the comments will be on both those paragraphs. The share ID for yesterday, Sunday, July 7th, is 21,551. That's 21551. And Monday, July the 8th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that's this morning's meeting, 21,552. That's 21552. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements person is Shelley E. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Letty.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everybody on the line. I'm Letty, and I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening of the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Letty G. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. I'm Rhonda R., a grateful member in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for your service, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism. On page 30, the second paragraph down, we learned that we had to fully concede, and we're going to read through two paragraphs ending with, "We get worse, never better." And I will now ask Lisa N. to get us started. Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, and thank you so much for your service. Can everybody hear me? I just feel like something happened with the sound.
I can hear you very
well. Great. Okay. Must be my earbuds. Lisa N., grateful compulsive overeater, recovered today just by God's grace and mercy. I'm from Wisconsin, by the way. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. Oh my. That is so, there is such sadness in those paragraphs, but I am so grateful to read those and to be here speaking, because I am recovered today just by God's grace and mercy. and it's because of this program and his love for me. And I never, you know what? I had the memo. The memo came to me, and it was in my inbox, but I wasn't opening it. I didn't want to read it. I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to fully concede that I was different than other people. So I read a million articles and books, and if you ate and didn't have a problem with eating, I put on my plate what you had, and I tried to eat just that. And I tried to eat what my sister did, because she didn't seem to have a problem with food. And it was just like holding a beach ball down in the water. Pretty soon it had to pop up, and I'd go home wherever I was, when somebody wasn't looking, I would just eat and gorge myself with other things that they weren't eating. Other people who are normal weren't eating. I had to admit that I was not like other people, and I didn't want to. I tried so hard to be like other people. The other day, my husband was looking through pictures, and he was looking for some pictures of his family, and he took out two of them were with me before I got the memo that I was not like other people. And it was so sad to see those pictures. And I apologized to him. I said, I am so sorry that I was the weight I was, 230 pounds. And the sadness is it was all in my butt. So here I am. I'm like a caricature, really. And humiliated by people snickering when I'd walk away because they'd see this enormous rear end that I had. It was so sad. A young woman, you know, didn't want to look like that. But God, he came in. He said, you've got to realize that this is it. This is your only option. And thank God I was in that place that I was willing to listen, willing to change, willing to hear what other people had to say. And I'm so glad I stayed. And if you're new, don't leave till you get the miracle. It's available. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Lisa, for getting us started on that very powerful paragraph. And so I'll just remind everybody where we are. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're starting with the second paragraph down, reading through two paragraphs. It starts with, we learned we had to fully concede. And the third paragraph ends with, we get worse, never better. And the comments will be on both those paragraphs. All right, I'm going to get my pen and pencil ready. Who would like to share on those two paragraphs?
Abby D.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P. Who was after Robin? I hear Gina. Anybody else want to share?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Aaron Rod J. from White Point.
I got Aaron J. and I think I heard Roz. Roz. Okay, got you, Roz. So I have Abby D., Robin P., Deborah G., Aaron J., Roz G. I think we'll stop there. That's a good group. Everybody, silence your phones except Abby D. Good morning, Abby.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Michigan. And when I first came into the program and when I first got like my meal plan and developed what was abstinence for me and was looking at the foods that were alcoholic for me, I was constantly comparing mine to other people. So, and I can still sometimes fall into that. Well, you know, that person can eat this, so I should be able to, and vice versa. And when I was starting to work with my nutritionist, and she helped me with the fact that there are certain things that I can't eat, even though they are healthy and perfectly fine and don't cause the craving for other people in OA. And I think that's where it's so different from like AA. I have to really concede to my innermost self that I have this, and that I have to be very honest with what's causing that allergy. And it's progressive and it's fatal. And when I relapsed, I thought that because this so-called healthy food that I saw other people eating, I thought that because I could, you know, I could add it to my salad and it could be completely fine, and I was off to the races again. So I just have to be really careful not to compare like my abstinence to other people's or my food plan, what I can eat, with other people's, and just get clear with God and myself that what I'm eating works for me and helps me maintain abstinence and helps me really maintain a relationship with God. So thanks for letting me share, Nika.
Thank you very much. Abby D. from Michigan. Up next is Robin P., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And just so grateful to be on the meeting today and abstinent today. You know, that incomprehensible demoralization, you know, wow, and pitiful. I totally lived that. And I kept thinking I would get better. And here was the news. Oh, did you try this? Oh, did you try that? Oh, here's something new. And I would just try everything. This will be it. Okay, this. No, this. I tried everything. And I always ended up, I was a very low bottom bulimic and anorexic at times and just and compulsive overeater at times. Just so out of control and hoping that illusion, that great illusion of one day regaining control of the uncontrollable. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to know today and to be recovered today, no matter what, you know. And my dad passed away on July 4th. And, you know, just I'm so grateful I got to say goodbye before he passed. But I felt really sad I wasn't there at that moment. And, you know, and I just get to keep working through feelings and grieving and just doing the normal human things that people do without sabotaging with the food, you know, because then I would have two problems instead of one problem. And just like this paragraph says, like, it doesn't magically disappear. It will never, ever, I will never wake up without being a recovered compulsive overeater. I won't, you know, it's so great to have this in writing. This book is such a treasure. You know, that we know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. And I'm just so grateful to know that today. I'm so grateful for my God squad, for my sponsor, for everyone in the program, everyone that I help and who helped me. And I get to just keep reaching up and reaching out and knowing that God has me. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day I pass. Thanks again, Mo, for your service.
Yeah, thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Sorry about your dad. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Aaron J. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service this morning. And, oh, Robin, I'm sorry for your loss. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you all for making this meeting possible. And welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line with us this morning. And, wow, you know, I knew I had a problem with certain foods, certain substances. You know, I knew that, and I just kept playing around. I was going through the motions of doing different things, like going through the steps or going to meetings, all of that, you know. But there was that thinking. It was my thinking about all this. That's my problem, my thinking with this. And it was my thinking that took me to a place even when I had an assessment with my alcoholic foods, that I thought the top alcoholic food wasn't, you know, it's okay, I'll just switch to this one and that one and this one, thinking that it was going to be different. You know, have that dishonesty, I wasn't being, I couldn't get honest with myself. That was my problem with my thinking and my dishonesty. And it wasn't until I was in a workshop going through the steps again that I finally did wake up. And I'm so grateful that all that happened before that happened, because it got me to that place to concede to my innermost self and get honest. I had a fork in one hand and I had salt shaker in the other hand, salting every single bite of my food. That's the way I was living. And it's, I wasn't even tasting my food. And I woke up and I said, oh my God, I can't do this. And I called someone I heard on a special edition. I love what she shared. It was all in divine order. I asked her to sponsor me. I told her my experience. I asked her to take me through the steps. And I was able to see even more about how important it was to be honest with myself and stop believing the lie that I wasn't a compulsive overeater and that those things weren't bothering me, because they were. And it had progressed. I was able to see the progression simply by my experience. And I'm so grateful, grateful for all of this. And I don't have to ever live like this anymore. And newcomers, you don't either. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much, Deborah G. Up next is Aaron J., followed by Roz G. And after Roz, I'll take another lineup of people who would like to share. Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, I'm Aaron, a compulsive overeater. What a powerful part of the book. So glad to hear this, and I appreciate the, you know, the tone of that reading is, oh, how sad that is. Actually, I'm very sad today, so it's kind of like sadness and fear go together for me, and it's a very sad situation. But what they read in the book is like, yeah, it's pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And it takes that level of desperation for me to be willing to, like, listen to anybody from the outside to give me direction. While I still have ideas, many years I did, even in these rooms, I was not willing to, you know, actually surrender. That's the truth. And I do think I identify with this, you know, periods of control followed by still less control, which leads in time to that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And that we don't see any possibility of taking on the disease by our unaided human will. Willpower is not bad, it's just not a solution for compulsive overeating. It really takes outside direction. And I've been around the rooms for many years, and I have abstinence since January 2022 again, and my abstinence is no recreational sugar, 3 meals a day, generally. I mean, no eating between planned meals, and my general solution of every day is 3 meals, because there's very limited circumstances that I would need to eat more than that. From my experience, having more opportunities to eat a day doesn't help me. Although I've met over the years different nutritionists that have given me different ideas, and one of the most intuitive eating, which may work for some, but certainly doesn't work for someone like me that's a compulsive overeater. Tomorrow, I'm actually meeting with a nutritionist again through the hospital because of my cancer treatment. And because I feel right now, I'm kind of stuck. I'm definitely stuck in a plateau that I don't want to be at. I'm willing to listen. So I'm going to go with an open mind tomorrow to listen to this nutritionist. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. From Thank you, Lynn from Wyoming. All right, before I take Roz G, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter more about alcoholism. We're on page 30. We're doing two paragraphs, the second and the third paragraph down. It begins with, we learned that we had to fully conceive. And the third paragraph ends with, we get worse, never better. Comments on those two paragraphs. After Roz, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And the vision that I'm getting this morning from this is mixed martial arts, the sport of mixed martial arts. And I imagine myself with a master mixed martial artist that's kicking the living daylights out of me and beating me up and just, you know, getting me to a place where I'm in an arm lock. And I have to tap out. And I was in the ring with food and ideas and behaviors for so long. And every time I got my butt beat, every time. And this fully conceding, I just get this visual picture of just tapping, just saying, I tap, I'm done. And there is such peace and such acceptance and such reality in saying, I am powerless. I tap out. I can't do this anymore. Because like in the other shares, I tried to do what everybody else was doing, over 20, oh, I'm sure more than 20 diets, you know, even appearing on some a television show from a very well-known person and getting their book and, oh my gosh, just exhaust. It's an exhaustive list. And so today to have a food plan that I follow and to have a sponsor that I tell the truth to and to have a morning review and a nightly review and pausing throughout the day and working with others and giving of myself is so much better. Because when I'm with sponsees that are newcomers or just even listening to the lines and hearing about what they're going through or hearing about people who relapse and then this get worse, never better, that it's a progressive illness and that it's fatal. You know, that's the hell that I don't want to be a part of anymore. I'd rather be in the peace and serenity that I live in today and to know that if I get into the ring with the master martial artist, I'm going to lose every time. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roz G. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs? Page 30, the second paragraph, and the third paragraph.
Rohan S.
Rohan S.
Mm-hmm.
Judith S. P.
Judith S. P.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie.
Joanne B.
Joanne B.
Maya K.
Maya K. I think we'll stop there. Maya K. Gotcha. So I have Rohan S., Judith, I think it was S. P., Joan Marie M., Joanne B., and Maya K. Okay, let's everybody mute their phone except Rohan. Good morning, Rohan.
Yes, Rohan S. from New Jersey, recovered and grateful compulsive overeater. Really glad to be here this morning and hear all the recovery and the message that if you're a newcomer, the miracle is definitely available. And, you know, for better, we only get worse, not better. You know, that's really true for me. Like, I always thought the worst meant like I'm going to eat more food or I'm going to get fatter. Like, that's what's going to get worse. But what I've discovered, and when I really look at my past, what really gets worse is my inability to stop eating. When I pick up a food that's a trigger food, a red light food, I always get to this point, my mind gets to this point where I think I've deserved it, where I think, like, I earned it. You know, I've been on the diet for so long, I've lost so much weight, look at all this discipline in my life, and I eat that food thinking, you know, I'm good, I have self-control now. And over the years, it just gets worse and worse and worse, my ability to stop picking up that food. And it's an absolute mystery to me how this happens. And I truly believe, even having a little bit over a year of abstinence now, that if I choose to pick up, that it is going to be impossibly hard to get back to abstinence without, you know, fully diving into recovery. Because that's just where my mind goes. It's progressive. My mental obsession with wanting to pick up just keeps on growing. Now, the good thing is that I've discovered in my experience that with this God-centered solution that OA offers, I get better. You know, my thinking straightens out when I bring God into my day, when I bring God into my problems, when I bring God into my gratitude. And when I come to meetings and learn that if I do decide to pick up, things get worse. I need to be reminded of this because I quickly forget. You know, 1 or 2 days without a meeting, I'm talking to my friends at a barbecue, and they're like, what, you can't just have a couple of pieces of watermelon? What's the big deal? And it sounds good. It sounds logical. You know, that's when I know I'm into trouble and that I need to thank God for these meetings. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Rohan S. from New Jersey. Up next is Judith S. Tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, Mo. Thank you for your service and everyone for being here. My name is Judith S. P., gratefully recovered, thank you, God, in Maryland. I appreciate everybody's share thus far, and I'd like to just spend a moment. We learned that we had to fully concede. It doesn't say partially. It doesn't say kind of, sort of, maybe. Fully. To our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. Innermost self really strikes me because recently I have gotten very connected, in addition to my external conscious contact with God, to the divinity within, that voice of God inside of me, which is part of the innermost, deepest part of Judith, that I'm an overeater, that my relationship with food has been skewed for many, many years, and that I couldn't take it anymore because the food was my solution to the spiritual malady, the unhappiness, because I had no understanding, although I had a belief in God, I didn't know how to access, and I didn't know the miracles that were ahead for me. This is the first step in recovery. And although our steps start with, I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable, the first step is that I have to concede to my innermost self that I'm an overeater. If I don't do that, it doesn't matter if I have super sponsor, fantastic food plan, healthy exercise program, fellows, et cetera, et cetera. I have to start with me and be honestly truthful and surrender. For this is the first step. When I take that step in the depth of my inside, then I could move forward into the miracles and the steps these offer me to spiritual awakening. The delusion, I would con myself better than any any con artist in the mafia. I'm not like other people. I'm uniquely created by God. I have my purpose. I have my strengths. It's not about what you eat. Can I eat it? It's not about how you look. Can I look that way? Those are externals. This program is spiritual and has helped me blossom and grow with setbacks that have helped me grow even further. So it's all part of God's plan. And thank you, God, for helping me, Judith, concede to my innermost self that food is not my problem. It was a sad solution. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, perfect timing, Judith S.P. from Maryland. Thank you very much. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Joanne B. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. This is Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God. Wow, what a powerful, powerful program. And this paragraph is awesome. And what stood out so much, the whole thing, but concede to my innermost being, surrender, smash the idea that I can do what a normal eater does and eat. I can't do that. I have that smash inside. And before that, it was always I would go on a diet and do it for a while and then think, oh, well, maybe this time. And it always end up the same way. And I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that torment ever again. So I have to concede to my innermost part, the very core of my being, that I am not a normal eater. I am an overeater. By the grace of God, I don't have to go there anymore. And when I think, when I have a food plan, and I think, well, I can have a little bit of this, and it's not my time to eat. I have a four-hour window where I know that if I feel that I want to eat something in within that that area, then I'm in trouble. And if I even eat something that's healthy, that's on my food plan, but not the time to do that, I open a door that I don't want to go through anymore. I've gone through that door too many times, and it always resulted in the same thing, torment, depression, hopelessness, despair, anxieties, fears. I don't want to open that door anymore, so I keep on doing what I did in the first place. And I'm grateful to God for a beautiful, awesome program. And there are miracles everywhere. And if you're new, stick around because the miracle will happen to you. If it did for me, it can be for you, a chronic relapser. With that, I pass. Thank you so much for all the shares.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie M., calling in from Nevada. Up next is Joanne B., followed by Maya K. We may have time for a couple of more shares after Maya. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everybody. Joanne B., calling in from Vermont. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, or recovering, maybe I should say. Love this paragraph, these two paragraphs today. To me, they're like two of the most important paragraphs in the big book pertaining to my disease of compulsive overeating. And unfortunately, like, I still have to knock myself over the head before I've completely conceded all those red foods. You know, I was away this past week, kind of like a family reunion, and there was just food everywhere. Like, I couldn't, literally, it felt like this nightmare. Like, every time I turned around, there was something that I couldn't eat. And it was hard. And I ended up, you know, having some of the food that I haven't had in like a year and a half. Like, I had sugar, some sugar, and I had chips And I'm still having a hard time, like, you know, oh, I can eat chips because they're not flour and they're not sugar. They're potatoes. But no, I really can't, because every time I do, like, I really, you know, I just want to eat more and more. And I have to accept that. I have to, you know, be completely honest. And I just haven't been. And this has been a great reminder to me. I'm back home now where, you know, all my food is very controlled. And I don't have those foods. But again, next week I'm going to be traveling again. And I'm going to have to double up my effort of, you know, prayer, meditation, and, you know, listening to Vision for You. I was away in Italy for 10 days, and I didn't listen to any meetings when I was away. I did okay with sugar, but I did eat pasta. So I'm still struggling with the fact that I think I can eat certain foods, but I can't. I really can't. And, I mean, it's just like, it's like a torture, like a self, form of self-torture, you know, like, and I need to really think about these things and do some journaling and just, like, concede to my innermost self that I can't eat certain foods. And once I do that, I feel like I'll be on the road, like, to full recovery again. Anyway, thanks for letting me share today. Have a great day, everybody.
And thank you very much, Joanne B. from Vermont. And before I take Maya, I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in More About Alcoholism, page 30. We're doing two paragraphs, starting with the second paragraph down. We learned that we had to fully concede. And it ends with, we get worse, never better. And the comments are on those two paragraphs. And after Maya, I might be able to take two more. Good morning, Maya.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. This is Maya, Maya K, spelled M-A-I-J-A, from New York, and I'm an overeater and bulimic in recovery. And I didn't want to share, but I haven't shared in a bit. So I just wanted to share on this paragraph because it really struck me when I heard the beginning of the paragraph saying we're not like other men, because I just did a two-way prayer that was, you know, I asked God what God wants me to know, and God was like, everyone's equal. And then I did this prayer, but, and then I just heard, like, I feel like my higher power said, yeah, we are all equal, but we're all unique, and we're all different, and we all have something that we have to deal with, and mine is, I'm, you know, I have this disease. And I'll always have this disease, like the little kid I babysat for has epilepsy, and he takes it. It's not like he can will it away. Or someone having been colorblind, it's not like try harder, he won't be colorblind or something. So I thought about that during the meeting. And I'm just grateful, you know, to be thinking about these things with people who are similar to me with overeating, because this used to be overeating and dieting and starving, and all the things that I used to do were distractions that took me out of life and took me out of God's world, you know, that God wants for me. And I still feel that way. And I know I need to do another fourth step, my sponsor, and talk more and just be myself and do what I need to do in this program. Instead of, you know, dealing with feelings and everything I did with food. And I guess that's really what I wanted to talk about. But what else did I want to say? I guess that's about it. So I'm just grateful that we all have this program. And I hope everyone has a nice day. Thanks.
Thank you, Maya. Kay. Maya K from New York, and it's spelled M-A-I-J-A. Well, I have time for one more share. Who would like to share on these two paragraphs? Page 30, second and third paragraph.
Robin Jan. P. S, California.
I got Jan S. I think that's all the time I have for. Sorry, I'll put you down, Robin. Go ahead, Jan.
Okay, thank you very much, and hello to everyone on the line. Oh, this really spoke to me today, especially that the illusion of our innermost self. My food's down. I have neutrality around my food, but my disease has switched straight over to the mental twist, you know, on this three-legged stool we have. And yesterday, I had the illusion that I knew best for someone else. And, of course, best for myself, someone else. And I came up with this, my best thinking came up with this, even after I had done prayer and meditation, the set-aside prayer, listened to vision. I still opened my mouth for my best thinking. And the good news is, it didn't get better, it got worse. So that's not the good news. But the good news is, I did keep turning to higher power. I did start with higher power. I did turn this over to higher power. And it was really a rough day. I couldn't reach out to anyone because I couldn't stop crying. But the beauty is today is a brand new 24 hours. My mental twist is quiet because I finally surrendered to my higher power. I surrendered all the other people involved to their higher powers. And today, everyone is in a better place. One individual in particular has reached out. So it reminds me that really, you know, I have to work on the all three of our disease issues. And through the grace of God, again, I did not eat, turn to food or drink. And today, and I felt every one of those feelings. And I remember hearing a share that they could feel their feelings. And I'm telling you, I didn't like a single one I felt. But again, I had to surrender completely. So when I go into my innermost self, I have to remember that I have an allergy to food, certain foods. I have a mental twist and a spiritual malady. And if I can surrender, I have a higher power. And each other person has a higher power that is far superior to my best thinking. And with that, I pass and thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much, Jan S. Robin, I can give you a minute if you would like it. Robin T.
Hi there. Thank you. Hi. Robin T. here, a true, true compulsive overeater. I have food panic when I'm not satiated. I realize as an abstinent eater that twice in the past 2 weeks I have had an extra 4 ounces of salad because I went into food panic thinking, oh my goodness, I don't feel satiated like I always do. What is happening? Boy, oh boy. These are setbacks for me. It's not the salad. It's the panic. It is my commitment to go to God, to sit quietly. And also, I've been eating in front of the television again. No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Need to sit at the table like a dignified person with integrity, following my plan and my commitment to God. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you so very much, and I'll pass.
Oh, perfect timing. Thank you, Robin T. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Alex K. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you and to us, more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him, to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.